And welcome back to Fritz and Friends. I'm Cheryl Fritz, coming to you on 1320 WILS and streaming live on 1320WILS.com. Joining me on the phone now, Detective Trooper Sarah Krebs with the Michigan State Police. Good evening, Detective. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Very well. I wanted to talk to you after a weekend event, see how it went. It was a Missing in Michigan event aiming to help solve missing persons cases in the state of Michigan, held at Ford Field. I guess first let's start with how the event went, and we'll get into some of the details.
It went really great. It was our first attempt at doing this, and we didn't really know what we were going to expect having it. And I think everybody involved was really pleased with how it went off. And we had very good numbers show up. All of our statistics were very good, better than expected.
And what was the purpose of this? It's to help find, I mean, we get the general purpose, but what was in your hope for those who attended? Were they a lot of family members of people missing in the state of Michigan?
Yeah, I would say our general audience was family and friends of missing persons. I think our initial thought in having the event was, of course, I'm representing law enforcement, so we wanted it to be proactive for our databases. We have two new technologies that can assist with missing persons cases, those being DNA family reference sampling. And also, we have a new database called NAMIS. It's the National Missing and Unidentified Person System. And it's a web-based database. And we really wanted to start backfilling a lot of our missing persons records into that database. And we thought we could do it with an event like this.
Were you successful in adding to the database both through DNA and through the NAMIS system?
Yes, absolutely. From what I heard, we filled out 52 DNA kits with the family representatives at our event. And pretty much every family that came through there, we made sure that we had a NAMIS profile online. Some of those cases were already entered, and we just verified them and checked that the information in the database was correct and up to date. And other ones were brand new to the site, so we were able to put those up online and get them searchable to the general public.
Has the DNA evidence, being able to use familial samples, has that upped the ante in being able to identify people?
I think it has, absolutely. It's one of probably the best things that we can do on a case, especially on a cold case, where somebody's been missing for, 15, 20 years, and the outcome of the case isn't going to be good, and we expect that. We're going to, in some point, we're going to reference that person to an unidentified remains case. And so in those types of cases, we're just sitting back and waiting, and the best thing that we can do for those cases is to get the DNA on file. Because if that person happens to be found possibly in a different state, and that's the reason why we're not connecting the two cases, DNA is definitely going to hit on those cases.
So those are obviously those files are shared throughout the United States.
Yes.
And beyond.
The new NAMIS station is national, so all 50 states are included on it. And there's been some talks about going international with it. We really would love that because Canada is our neighbor, and we have had cases that have crossed the international lines here. And that has been one of the reasons why they went unidentified for some time. And so we're really looking to see if we could add Canada into that database.
Now, besides the technology of DNA and this NAMIS system, just online, just the technology, I imagine, has made it much easier to transfer information and to search for information in missing persons cases.
That's right. If you think about 20 years ago when the internet wasn't around, the only way that detectives and medical examiners could talk about their information was either over the phone or, going to conferences. And really, there wasn't a whole lot of interstate transitions between, missing persons cases and unidentified cases. And now with the databases that we have on the internet, we are able to locate a lot of those people that end up in different states, alive and deceased. you know, that the internet is a great tool when searching for people. Well, I was going to say the new National Missing and Unidentified Remains System is accessible to the public, and that's huge. It's one of the first law enforcement databases that's ever been accessible to the general public, and it's all web-based, so the general public can sign on and enter their own missing persons cases onto the system.
That is an amazing advancement.
It is. It's really great. And it allows the families also to become part of the investigation. You know, they can put their profile online and search it daily if they wish. And it, you know, it really kind of interjects them more into the case.
How many tips, well, let me rephrase, how many, the tips that are coming in on cold cases, do they continue to come in year after year, or every now and then something might sporadically come in that surprises you?
You know, I haven't worked a cold case, missing persons case. I usually end up working the unidentified remains case, okay. Which in those cases, they're always cold by the time they get to me, because we're always the last avenue mm-hmm. to try to identify somebody. But I still have tips that come in on some of my cases, and it's because of the internet. You know, it's because we post those cases to websites, and people come across them every once in a while and give tips on them. Same with the NamUs database. I'll have people email me left and right about trying to connect missing persons cases to unidentified remains cases that are on that website.
Somebody just perusing the website and sees something new that they hadn't seen before.
Right. I call them the cyber sleuths. You know, there's a lot of people that in their own time, and they don't have any affiliation with law enforcement, but they're very interested in the cause, and they get online and, you know, make it a hobby.
How many numbers of missing people in Michigan, what is our number around now?
The last time I checked, which was in January of 2011, we had 3,096 missing persons entered.
Boy, that's astounding, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely astounding. Child safety was a huge part of Saturday as well, wasn't it, with families?
Yes, it was.
And you were passing out, giving out information and so forth and kits to help people?
Yeah, we wanted to promote some child safety because one of the biggest things you can do to protect your child from going missing is, you know, cover all the bases. So we had the child ID kits were done by the Masons of Michigan, and that allowed families to get photographs, fingerprints, a little video of their child, and DNA in a kit that they can take home with them in case their child ever does go missing. And we also had, you know, people that were promoting internet safety and just general children's safety. We had McGruff the Crime Dog was there. We tried to make it an interactive and fun day for kids as well as adults.
Well, it you know, it sounds like an interesting day. It's a fascinating topic, people that just disappear and, mm-hmm. and aren't seen from again. Some new technology that's going to help us all out, I hope so much. I appreciate your time this evening. Thank you so much, Detective.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Detective Trooper Sarah Krebs with the Michigan State Police. We'll be back with more Fritz and Friends on 1320 WILS after this.